We're here on Local Matters, and my guest today is none other than the lead pastor for Trinity Allgood, Jason Yarbrough. I hope I pronounced that
well
right.
Done.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. So welcome back, I should say.
Yeah, it is good to be back. So, we were here from 99 to the start of 2003 and then left for a bit. Yes. And now we're back, and I can honestly say it feels like coming back home.
Wow. Well, welcome home.
Thank you.
So let's talk about going back to 2003.
Yeah.
So you're, you know, leading music.
Right.
Trinity's rocking.
It was interesting times.
It was interesting times, yes. I had been there about 18 months at that.
Okay.
That time I'd sat down with an interview for you to work on our display team to display.
I forgot about that.
About
that's
that.
Right.
So I'd done that. But so tell me, how did you get a job offer? What was kind of what had you leave in 2003?
Sure. Well, as you know, Paul Harvey says, here's the rest of the story that most people don't know. So it was actually, we got here in April of 99. And we had interviewed in November of 98, but I wasn't looking for a job. My cousin, who's also in music ministry in churches, was looking for a new job, and he asked if I knew of any openings. And so there was a website at the time in our denomination, the Assemblies of God, and I had got on there several times looking for a place to for him. And I kept just kind of coming back to the Trinity post.
Interesting.
And on about the third time, because the church was, I think, was around 1,200 people at the time, and my cousin had no experience.
Mm-hmm.
And just in prayer one day, I said, God, why do I keep coming back to this post? Because they'll never look at my cousin. And he says, well, I'm not showing you that for your cousin. I'm showing you that for you.
Wow.
So we weren't even looking to go anywhere. We were in Texas at the time, enjoying ministry and having a good time. And we had had our second child, but God had other plans. So we called church, and 6 months later from the interview, we finally got hired.
So you came and interviewed with Pastor Eddie?
With Pastor Eddie, the entire team, and we sat down at dinner, and here's my funny football story.
Uh-oh.
I'm a big 49er fan.
Yeah.
I'm a Californian.
Yes.
And
we'll forgive you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Well, I'm not even sure we're even playing this year, but that's a whole nother story. There was our office manager at the time was a lady named Carrie Johnson, who you know.
Yes.
And so Pastor Eddie, we're sitting at the table, and the first thing Pastor Eddie basically says is, well, what do you think about John Elway? He was just trying to set me up.
Was he? Nice.
And so at that time, John hadn't won any Super Bowls yet, if I believe the timeline correctly.
Sure.
And so I said, well, if I'm going to work with you guys, I got to be honest. I think he's the most overblown quarterback in the history of the NFL. And Carrie about coughed up a lung. You know, she goes, yeah, you're out.
Get out
of the building.
That's right.
You know, but just a little interview process. And we came and got to lead worship, I think, in November. It was just before Thanksgiving. And then, of course, the holidays happened. And then in the middle of that, we had a baby. So
wow.
Pastor Eddie didn't want to move us while we were having a newborn. So it all got stretched out. But we got here Easter Sunday of 1999.
Wow. So you were there for almost 4 years.
Just about 4 years, yeah. And then that's when we started having some leadership transition in the church. And, of course, Pastor Eddie left to become a statewide leader.
Right.
And so it was just, God, just he sent us out to go learn some things we needed to learn.
Sure.
And we planted a church in California and a Christian school. They're still, thankfully, doing well.
Wow.
But I feel like I'm much more mature than I was, you know, 17 years ago.
Yeah, the time flies by.
Yeah, it does.
So we definitely learn lessons on our travels through life.
We do, if we'll learn them. If not, we keep repeating them.
We do. We keep running around the same mountain, you
right.
know, instead of conquering those things that we know that we need to.
That's exactly right. And I would love to say I learned every lesson the first time, but that's
sure.
not true.
No, we don't.
During that 17 years, God really grew us up, and we learned some things about leadership and learned some things about relationship. And so a lot of people, and they do know us from 17 years ago. We're still the same people.
Sure.
But in one sense, we're not.
Sure.
Because we've had a whole lot of life experiences since then.
Absolutely. So you end up leaving Trinity in 2003, going and learning these lessons
right.
as you go different places. So we fast forward to last year, and so how do you end up back
in Trinity?
How does a California guy
goodness.
End up back? Because didn't in the Beverly Hillbillies, the guy left wherever he was living,
right,
and went to California.
California is the place you ought to be.
That's right. So then you end up back here in Cookeville. Take us through that process of knowing.
Well, it was very interesting because we were, in those 17 years, we were at basically two different churches, and one we had started. And then God sent us, we didn't know why, to a church on the coast of California that was struggling in severe decline. And so in the church world, we would call that a revitalization effort.
Sure.
And so learned a lot of lessons there that we wouldn't have learned, you know, anywhere else. And so we saw on social media that Trinity's previous pastor, who's a good friend of mine, had resigned. And I didn't know. It took me by surprise. And for probably, about 5 seconds, I thought, I wonder. Nah.
No.
You know, and so we kind of went about our business. And about a month later, got a message from a Trinity member who we knew from all those years ago, who I'd actually worked with in the office. And she just said, hey, would you ever think about coming back? And our response to her was, nope.
Nope.
Not that we were opposed to it.
Sure.
We just didn't think that that was.
You were planted and settled California. You had put a lot of effort into this,
right,
this church that was a rebuilding project.
And it was turning
around. You know.
And we had reduced the debt by about 80%, and things were going well.
Sure.
There was still a lot to do. And so that was kind of my defense. Like, well, God, no, there's more work to do here. This can't be the right timing. This can't be the thing. And I remember driving down a road in that town, because I was just having such reservations about, is this really God? Is this really what you're speaking? And ironically, the road was called Reservation Road. True story. And I remember just kind of praying and kind of arguing with God and saying, God, this doesn't make sense. Why would you call us out when there's still so much work to do here? And I tell you, Mike, I don't mean to sound overly spiritual, and it wasn't audible, but in my heart, in my spirit, I heard the Holy Spirit say, yes, you're right. There's a lot of work still left to do here, but you've done all I asked you to do.
Oh, wow.
And in that moment, I knew, and there was just this release. And so at that point, I hadn't talked to anybody at Trinity. So I picked up the phone and called a board member who was a friend of mine from all those years ago. We talked for about an hour on the phone. And at the end, he just said, keep praying. And if this is what God wants for you, I'd encourage you to submit us a resume.
Okay.
And man, that was it. So, and this may sound somewhat arrogant. I don't mean it to at all.
Sure.
In the 4 or 5 times we've moved over our 30 years of marriage, we've only ever sent one resume to one place.
Wow.
We've never, you know, shotgun resumes. Not that that's wrong.
Sure.
But we just don't want to move unless we feel like God's spoken.
Right.
And so once we heard in our spirits, yep, God's sending us back to Trinity, we sent that resume. And of course, that was the day before Halloween.
Wow.
Last year. And as you and I know, it was a long process.
Sure, of course.
But all those months later, man, here we are, and we just are feeling like that we're exactly where we're supposed to be.
So you're not the type person that goes, once they're at a place, going, okay, now what's my next step?
You know, we've never been that way. You know, I read all the leadership books and stuff. Right back, I'm in school now in an organizational leadership degree. And everybody talks about, well, you know, 5-year plans and 10-year plans and this. And I've never been that guy. And I've always felt like, what's wrong with me? Because
don't set those. If somebody asks you, so what's your 5-year plan?
This has never been me. And so we've always just done our best to be content where we are, serve the best that we can.
Sure.
And then if, you know, I kind of joke, remember the old Kmart blue light specials?
Oh, yes.
You know, all of a sudden the light flashes to get your attention.
Sure.
And so it's been that way for us. We're just serving, got our heads down, doing what we know to do. And then all of a sudden God says, okay, here's another. And so then we kind of fight it.
Right.
You know,
so, no, Lord,
and then
please.
We surrender. And yeah, that's just the way it's always been in our lives.
That's good. That's good. We're, if you've just joined us, we're speaking with the, I'll call him new. He's not really new, but the new lead pastor at Trinity in Allgood, Jason Yarbrough. And again, I said that right.
It's 2 for 2, man. I'm impressed. You're batting 1,000.
So when you got back, you've been selected, you have been voted on. You've received the vote, and you've come back. Is it Do you have that set of eyes that just, are you one of those seers? And so things just kind of stand out to you. Maybe it's the pink carpet from 1996 when we built the building.
That's right.
I don't want to drive a thorn into the side of your arm.
Yeah, it's actually held up pretty well. It's just time to go.
It's time to go. I agree. So are you that type of person that just sees things?
You know, I am. And I think the catch for me over the years, you know, to pull a Bible story into play, Joseph was that kind of guy. His mistake was he told everybody about it instead of just holding on to it till the right time.
Sure.
And so the lesson that I continue to learn is just because we see something or God shows us something, it doesn't mean it's yet the time to talk about it.
Correct.
You just hold on to it. You pray about it.
Right.
Maybe flesh out a little bit more. I can't tell you how many times God's told me things and I just go out and do them. And God was showing me, but the timing wasn't right yet.
Right.
And so I'm working on learning some patience and, you know, timing for everything. But yeah, you know, when you come back to Trinity, a place that honestly, over the years, our closest relationships, you know, probably 90% of our closest friends were still here.
Sure.
It was just this crazy connection that we still had to Tennessee over the, you know, almost 20 years we were gone. But you come back and now you're privileged to lead a place that you used to, you know, be an associate at, and it's got a long history, as you know, in 37 sure. years, only two pastors.
Two pastors in 37
you know,
years.
So that's a huge thing to right. try to step into and follow.
Right.
And so you don't want to appear as if you're not honoring the past.
Absolutely.
But yet, it's time to move forward.
You have to.
You got
to
change yes. culture and, you know, you change do. Things. And so, yeah, we see a lot of things, and the catch is what's important and what's not, and figuring it out.
Well, great. That's good to hear. We're going to talk more about that on the other side of the break. We're here with lead pastor at Trinity in All Good, Jason Yarbrough, on Local Matters.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. Office Mart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service, too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. Office Mart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at Office Mart.
We're back on Local Matters. Our guest today is the lead pastor at Trinity in All Good. That's Jason Yarbrough.
Very
and I
good.
Butchered it this
nah,
time.
You're all
can
right.
Can we edit that? Thank you. Our guest is lead pastor at Trinity in All Good, Jason Yarbrough.
It's good to be here.
Thank you for being here. So, what are some of your... It's a twofold question.
Okay.
What are some of your biggest challenges coming back? And then what were maybe some of the unexpected surprises in maybe a good way?
Sure. Honestly, one of the biggest challenges coming back, there may be two things. One is stepping into the legacy that is Trinity.
Sure.
You know, with Pastor Eddie and then, of course, Pastor Mike.
And you worked with both those guys.
Oh, both of them. Pastor Eddie was our senior pastor. Pastor Mike was our lead associate. And Pastor Mike and I have stayed connected all these years. In fact, Trinity under Pastor Mike invested very heavily in our church plant out in California at the point where we didn't quite know what we were going to do. And so Trinity is very interwoven in our story over the years. And so one of the biggest challenges, I think, has been internally for me stepping into that church where 37 years, two pastors, the legacy of both those men, and then just trying to strike that balance between honoring the past,
sure,
but yet leading into the future.
Sure.
So that's been a big challenge.
Because you have a mixture, I think, of people at our church that say, who's this Eddie guy? Because
sure.
they weren't there
right.
when he was there, and all they've known was
Pastor Mike. Right. Yeah. And they hear the stories.
Sure.
But yeah, so I honor both of those men because they both had a profound influence in my life. The other one, I think, as you guys know, Cookeville's a small town.
It is.
Everybody knows everybody. And I think catching up to the life that has happened in the last 17 years.
Sure.
You know, you leave and people who were young adults that we, you know, spoke into their lives. Now they're full grown adults with teenagers driving.
And, right.
You know,
and so, leaders, you know, yep. I mean, you've got some board members who were, you know, college kids or younger when you left.
Yeah. And Mark is exactly who I was thinking of. And you had Mike who played baseball at Tech.
Right.
And now they're sitting at the same leadership table with you.
Sure.
When I left, they were just young college kids.
That's right.
So adjusting them. Of course, I haven't aged at all.
No, you know, neither have I.
But, you know, adjusting for all of that has been a thing. And then, of course, Trinity's been through a lot of changes, especially in the last year.
Sure.
And I think trying to find the right way to lead forward, because you can't go forward constantly looking to the past.
Sure.
You've got to look forward. So that balance between, dealing with challenges that may still exist, but turning the focus toward, hey, let's move forward. Yeah, let's find that next chapter.
And I guess you have a vision, so to speak, for the church, things that you would like to change, things you would maybe like to clean up, so to speak.
And to be clear, it doesn't mean that anything that, you know, in the past was necessarily wrong.
Right.
Things just, you know, they have shelf life.
They do.
Right. And then God does something different.
Right.
And so what I found, you know, I'm 51, been in ministry since I was 20, actually a pastor's kid. Maybe we'll talk about that a little bit.
Sure. There's no pressure in being a pastor's kid.
No, none whatsoever.
Right.
Well, in fact, I tell people, they say, well, what do you want to do when you grow up? I say, well, I was a pastor's kid, so that meant under no conditions did I ever want to be a pastor.
That's right.
You know, because you got that glass house. I mean, there's some positives, too.
Sure.
You got that glass house thing going on. But, you know, coming back to Trinity and honoring the past and thinking about the future and trying to really find what I would call the mind of God for which way he wants us to go. But what I found in my 31 years of ministry is I think God wants things simpler rather than more complicated.
Sure.
And I said to our church this last Sunday, I said, God never designed the church to create ministries. God designed the church to create ministers.
Yes.
And we have this idea that everything's got to happen internally, when really our focus should be on developing people and letting them go out and be the body of Christ in the community.
Absolutely. So how many people do you think were sitting there going, what? What's this guy talking about?
That's a great question.
I think a few might have gone, what did he just say?
What's he talking about? Yeah, because our American model is everything inside the church.
Exactly.
And that was
let's do this class. Let's offer this service.
Right.
You know, which those things in
They're
and of
important.
Themselves are important.
Sure.
But
it's
about going out into the world.
Right. And so what we're trying to, and again, not that anything before us was wrong, but what we're trying to is kind of strip things down to is three words that we preach. I know every church has their words and I get all that, but we went back to scripture and the Bible tells us to love God and love other people. It tells us that daily we should be growing in our faith to maturity. And then it tells us to serve those that are around us. And so those are the three principles. We have a little tag phrase that we use called loving people into a life-changing relationship with Jesus. Because our job is not to condemn people. Our job is not to make sure they get their life right. Our job is to love them, show them by example, and just help them along in their journey. So our goal really is, and one of the things we're going through right now is, and I think every business owner does this, I think every leader does this, what's still effective, what's not, and how can we use our limited resources to get the most, you know, bang for our buck. And so we're really focusing on, our Sunday morning experience, encouraging people, tools where people can grow, and then showing them how to get out into the community and make a difference.
That's awesome. If you just joined us, we're here with Jason Yarbrough. He is the lead pastor at Trinity in Allgood. So let's talk about some of the things moving forward? You know, Trinity owns, you know, a large piece of land close to this radio station.
Yeah.
Do you personally have a vision that maybe you've shared with the board for that?
Sure.
Or,
you're trying to get me in trouble, aren't you?
No. I definitely don't want to get you in trouble. But or is there a for sale sign to go in on the land? And if somebody's listening and would like to make an offer, it's a beautiful piece of land.
So here's what I know for sure. And we as a board are talking about those things. And part of it, of course, is a financial decision, but it's bigger than that for me.
Sure.
And what I keep coming back to, what I hear and what I see, is that in 1966, God planted this church in Allgood. Mm-hmm. Now, why? I don't even know how big Allgood was at the time. I looked it up not too long ago, and I think it was, you know, like roughly 1,000 people.
Sure, that would make sense.
And for whatever reason, God's wanted a church to be in Allgood. And it just feels like that's our spot. Mm-hmm. You know, churches in the last 20 years, the model is, you know, find the big piece of property by the freeway, build the big sign. People will come, you know, you build it, they'll come kind of thing, you know. And I just don't know that that's what I feel in my heart for Trinity. I want us to be who God wants us to be. And I firmly believe that he planted us in Allgood. So, yeah, selling that property is definitely on the table. Absolutely. And if you're listening and you want to buy it, man, call us up. We'll talk.
We take checks.
That's
right?
Exactly.
That's
right.
It. That's it.
And so, and I mean, part of it, though, is we want, you know, we are attached to that property. So we would love for it to be something useful for the community.
Sure.
You know, would be awesome.
Sure.
But, yeah, I think our spot's Allgood. I think that's where God has put us. And, of course, the ministry reach. I mean, Cookeville, Allgood, we're all tied together around here. But that's really going to be our focus is ministering right there where the church has been since 1966.
Well, that's interesting. I did notice, you know, that the old blue dentistry building has now come down. And so that makes it look a lot different. And, you know, the grass growing now on it.
It makes it a little cleaner.
It is.
And it
looks really, really nice. And in the next segment, we'll talk a little more about that if there's, you know, plans to develop it. And so you are listening to Local Matters on News Talk 94.1. We're back on Local Matters here on News Talk 94.1. My guest is Jason Yarbrough. He is the lead pastor at Trinity in Allgood. And when we went to the break, we were talking about the blue building across from Allgood City Hall that was condemned and was brought down. A lot of kids' ministry got done over the years in that
my kids
blue
were in that building.
How about that? Yeah. Wow. That's amazing. That kind of opens my eyes, though.
Yeah, that's how long ago we were
and
here.
And your kids are how old now?
Oh, boy, 28, 25, and 21.
Wow. And so now does your 21-year-old live here?
The 21-year-old is here.
Okay.
Our grandson is here. Cutest kid in the world. You know how that goes.
I see the pictures.
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't know if you've talked about it, but Mike's also a brand new grandfather.
Yes, I am, and loving it. He was 2 months old, so I'm kind of excited.
Changes life.
It does. It does. I'm glad to be part of that club. So the blue building is gone.
It is.
Any thoughts about, I mean, the grassy area looks great to me.
No, we definitely have some thoughts there.
Sure.
And the irony is I've had a lot of people say, hey, Pastor Jason, so glad you finally took that building down. Well, it was already in the works before I got here. So
yes.
For the people who hate that we took it down, I'm getting all the blame. But for the people who like it, I'm getting all the credit,
you know.
I mean, but I really had nothing to do with it. But and it's a lot cleaner. In fact, the city of Allgood folks are glad it's down because across the road because they're enjoying the view. You know, we're not big on spending a ton of money on facilities.
Sure.
We believe in things being nice and serving purposes. We love investing money in people. And so what we're talking about doing there is kind of an outdoor prayer pavilion that could double for outdoor weddings and things like that, but a kind of a prayer place, think like an open prayer chapel kind of idea, with what I see, or maybe kind of not monuments, but things around the. I want to take people on a prayer journey through the New Testament. There's several prayers listed in the New Testament. And I just think, you know, pulling prayer together with an open space that the entire community could use. Mm-hmm. Maybe they need to pray.
Sure.
And then come sit there and, you know, and face the cross. And so we just, we've got pictures, we've got ideas, we've got a few other fish to fry before we get there. But that's kind of what we're thinking for that space.
That's interesting. And so the campus is looking great.
It is. A lot of work getting done.
The parking lot's been sealed and striped.
Yep.
Those are looking great.
Yep. A lot of the landscaping's changing.
And
again, going to stuff that looks good, but low maintenance, so we don't have to spend quite so many funds on maintaining things.
Yeah, the time involved when you have a lot of landscape can be, you know, not only time consuming, but expensive.
Absolutely. So it's money up front, but again, down the road, we'll free up more resources to invest in people and not stuff.
That's great. And so as we go around the campus, mm-hmm. any 6 month to a year out things that you're talking about doing?
You know, we have several things that we're talking about. And if money were no object, man,
sure.
we just get started.
That's right.
But we are currently, and this may be a little premature to talk about, but we're currently talking with Hope Center Adoption in town.
Sure.
Because we're finding with them that one of their major issues is for young women who want to carry their child and maybe are experiencing family opinion the other direction.
Sure.
They have no place to go. And so Trinity for years has had a single mom program, because we've got little houses, as you know, on the property. But we're beginning the conversation about what a single pre-mom, if that's the right term, would look like. So, you know, women that have made the decision to have their child, but have no place to go, how could we partner with Hope Center? In fact, I think it's next week that we're sitting down and having a big discussion on how Trinity might be able to use or adapt our single mom housing. So that could, at some point, result in some additional units, you know, popping up on our property that we would be pretty excited about.
That would be great to partner with that fantastic ministry. Mm-hmm. I know, you know, my wife works at the Cookeville Pregnancy Clinic, and they've worked hand in hand with the Hope Center as well. And it was a very much needed service and ministry in our community.
So I would encourage folks listening to go look them up because they're a great organization.
I agree with you. So as we talk out the remaining minutes, are there things on your heart if somebody was listening today and they're thinking, gosh, I've walked away.
Yeah.
I'm not good enough.
Yeah.
Well,
first of all, we all feel that way.
Sure.
If we're being honest, we all feel not good enough. We all feel unworthy. And Susan and I, we're here for one reason, man, and that is to lead people to Jesus. Mm. You know, we don't care if we're the biggest church. We don't care if we're the coolest church. None of that really matters to us. And it did. I'll be honest. It mattered in my 20s.
Sure.
You know, that was the goal, right?
Right.
But now, man, I just want to love people to Jesus. Mm. And whatever that looks like, however we can get involved, however we can do that, that's what we want to do, serve people and help them change their lives.
Well, it's certainly our churches in this community are a necessary refuge for not only the members, not only the committed, but also the ones who aren't committed.
Right.
And we have churches of all flavors all over our community.
Sure.
And I think the one thing that I've noticed about you as you've come in here, you're kind of a clean slate guy, you know.
Right.
You can go sit down with almost anybody at any of these churches and talk.
Right.
And so how's that gone? How have you been received with doing that?
You know, so far, except for the whole California connection.
That gets you in trouble,
it does.
Right?
But, you know, very, very well. And let me just hasten to say, there are some wonderful churches in this town, not called Trinity.
Sure.
That, man, wherever God sends you, wherever he plugs you in, you know, you go. But I think, you know, the group of pastors that I've been able to meet with, what we're all sharing is moving people past a commitment to faith and an actual lifestyle of changing our lives and influencing other people for Jesus. It's not enough just to walk the aisle when you're five.
Right.
You know, it's got to become
that's right. Much more than that.
And that's what we want to invest our life work into. Well, again, loving people into a life-changing relationship with Jesus, not just a one-time decision.
Absolutely. You know, and we have, Sean and I have raised our kids from, you know, Kelsey. We got married when
Yeah, your Kelsey kids grew up while 10. I was gone.
Right. My kids, we had kids and they grew up, yeah. You know. My daughter's in ministry in Jackson, Tennessee. Her husband is the music pastor there, and she's doing media missions work. And so.
And giving you grandkids.
And giving me grandkids. Hallelujah. You know, so, they grew up with it. And our kids who are now 10 and 13 have grown up in the church.
Right.
And the one thing that's kind of funny is if on a Wednesday night I've had a tough day, I really don't. You know, I'm kind of hedging a little bit. I don't tell anybody in the family. Levi and Mary Catherine both are like, "Hey, it's about time.
Are we going?
we got to go to church." And it's a blessing for us that they are I won't say they're leading us to church, but they're influenced, and it's a big deal.
Well, I think there's even a scripture that says, and a child shall lead them, so it happens.
Bingo, it does. Yeah. It really does for us, and so it's almost an accountability for parents,
right?
Which is a good thing.
Yeah.
And so as you move forward, you and Susan, and tell us a little bit about Susan. What's her background? What does she like to do?
So Susan's the opposite of me. The short story is I was raised in church. She wasn't.
Yes.
You know, I was the Christian, supposedly, and she was the heathen.
Okay.
And that's the joke is, you know, the pastor's kid wanted the non-church girl, right?
That's right. That's right.
But at 14, I had a radical salvation, really came to Christ.
Amen.
And she leads me a lot, you know, because God has placed her in my life. She loves prayer. She loves people. And I can't imagine doing ministry without her. We celebrated last summer 30 years. Mm-hmm. So we've been together for a minute, and she's really been a valuable partner.
30 years has gone by quickly.
Oh, dude, you're not kidding.
Hasn't it? So she, you know, just again, as somebody who works on the Trinity media team on Sundays.
Catching my good side.
Right. Catching your good side with the camera and, you know, being on the prayer team and everything else. I noticed that Susan is very active.
She is.
In the service. If she believes she needs to go pray for somebody,
she'll go do it.
She'll go do it.
That's right.
She's not bashful about it.
And the best part, though, is she didn't used to be that way.
Okay.
So that's part of the growing that we talk about, right? As you grow in your faith and you allow the Holy Spirit to work in you, I think he draws some of those things out of you that you didn't think were there, but now they are. Mm-hmm. So if you just saw her 20 years ago, she'd have been very hesitant to do those things. But now
it wasn't like she was on the platform with you singing. Right,
you know, she was part of the choir.
Right.
And so she was a face in the choir. But she wasn't out with an instrument leading and stuff like I was. She was content to be behind the scenes.
Right.
And she still really is. She doesn't have to be a forward person. But she loves praying and ministering with people and meeting with people. In fact, the other night, she went to meet with somebody, and I went to bed. And I said, what time did you get home? Oh, about 12:30. I said, oh, my goodness. But there was an opportunity to minister, so she took it.
Well, I appreciate her a lot.
Yeah,
thank you.
Because
she's had my wife and daughter over and really encouraged
Mary
Catherine.
Well, you've got a great wife, too.
Well, I do. I'm blessed. And so what do we call it? We outkicked our coverage.
That's exactly right.
So that's and so as y'all do ministry together, what are some of the challenges for you all as a couple? Is it that, you know, sometimes time can get away from you or too many things can stack upon itself?
Right.
You know?
Yes to all those things. I mean, I won't say blessed, but you know, we've raised our kids. They're out of the house now. So that time commitment is not there, which frees us up to do some more ministry. Even at our age, and I won't tell you how old she is, but we have to work at, you know, making time for each other. But one good thing for us is we really enjoy doing ministry together.
Yes.
So that's been a big benefit.
And that's important.
It's huge.
You know, because it gives you the freedom to be able to do the things that you need to do without that secondary worry of, you know, am I... putting my wife third or fourth or fifth behind all these other things.
And those days existed in my life.
Yeah, I get it.
But we've just worked really hard over the years, as I'm sure a lot of couples do, on their relationship and our communication. And we're at a place where, you know, we don't argue a lot. We don't fight a lot because we're to that point. But we just love being together and doing ministry together.
Well, that's great. Well, it's been a pleasure to have
been an honor, man.
Pastor, my lead pastor at Trinity and All Good. And thank you for being here, Jason.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. This is Local Matters on News Talk 94.1.